Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to Spectacular Show. I just wanted to do a little check-in with you guys. This week, I'm going to have a little bit of a different episode just to kind of give you a heads up on what's going on in my life and what's going on with the show this month. So, I live in Queens and in New York, and my family lives up in Massachusetts, and we were going to... My girlfriend and I had quarantined for like 3 weeks so that we could go home and see them for Thanksgiving, which then, of course, a lot of the outlets and news and doctors and stuff, they said don't travel because COVID is so bad. But we had quarantined, so we were still going to do it, but it didn't pan out. The day that we were going to travel, I actually ended up getting and feeling sick. So it was a real bummer. I haven't seen my family in almost a year now. And it was a real letdown. And I felt really bummed out. I kind of moped around for a few days. And my girlfriend's great. Luckily, she helped take care of me and stuff. But today, actually, I'm going to be driving up there with my girlfriend to see them. It's the first time in almost a year. It's been about 49 weeks, I think, since I've seen them, so I'm very much looking forward to it. I usually see them at least once every couple of months, but nearly a year is by far the longest it's ever been that I haven't seen them, so I'm very, very much looking forward to it. As a result, with like crazy work going on and then getting sick, and I just didn't have it. I didn't have a full episode ready for the week. So instead, I figured I'd just check in with you guys, give you a little shorter episode, and kind of let you know what's going on for December. Because we have some fun stuff lined up, and I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really excited for it, and I hope you guys will be too. It's been such a trashy year. It's just been lousy, you know, with COVID, with the pandemic, with people losing their jobs, people being sick, people dying or you know, restaurants going under, having to close, all these crazy things. It's been a hard year just for everybody, no matter who you vote for, what religion you are, no matter what, man. It's just been all over the world. It's been rough, and I just think that, you know, holiday time is a time where you can kind of let sorry. I don't know if you guys just heard the toilet flush in the other room. And I don't have time to edit this today, so you will be hearing it if it was on there. Anyway, the joy of living in a studio apartment during a pandemic. Anyway, so I think holiday time is the time to be joyous, hopefully, no matter where you are, no matter who you are. And I think this year, you know, I really want to go all out. I really want to do some fun stuff. I really think that today is December 3rd when I'm recording this and releasing this. So next Thursday, December 10th, we will have an episode. It'll be a holiday episode. I'm not sure what it'll be yet, but I think it might be it might be like a little review or like a little discussion about a classic holiday special or movie. I'm not sure yet. I have to figure out the logistics, but December 10th, you'll be getting that. Starting on December 11th is the first day of Hanukkah. Now, I'm not Jewish, but my girlfriend is, and she got me into a TV show called The Goldbergs. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that show. It is I don't know. Some of my favorite shows ever are The Office, Parks and Recreation, Party Down, Community, Seinfeld, there are lots, The Simpsons. But if you've never seen The Goldbergs, I think The Goldbergs is a fantastic show. Really funny. It's got a great heart. It's a show about the 80s, but the guy who made the show, Adam F. Goldberg, he reminds me very much of me a lot of ways. When he was younger, he had a lot of toys, and he just had his nerdy interests, and he really liked them, and people made fun of him for it, but he still didn't matter. He still enjoyed it. So But anyway, for Hanukkah, I figured it would be cool. It'd be something to look, at least to look forward to every day, even if you're not Jewish. It would just be a fun thing to do. So starting on December 11th, that's the first day of Hanukkah, for the next 8 days, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, we will be doing episodes, shorter episodes. It'll be 8 days of the Goldbergs for Hanukkah. So I'm really looking forward to doing that. We also, the week after that, the 18th is Friday. The week after that, we will have a Christmas crossover with our friends at Movies in the Buff. That's another great podcast, a friend of ours, if you've never listened to them. I know you've, if you've listened to the show, you've probably heard our guests, Brett Bolton and John Dreyer. They're two good buddies of mine, and they are two guys who have their own podcast all about movies. It's called Movies in the Buff. Last year, we did a Christmas crossover. At the time last year, my computer had broken, so I had not recorded anything, but I was able to release the Christmas crossover on Spectacular Show. So we're doing that again this year. I'm not sure of the date. I have to figure it out with those guys, but it'll be the week of Christmas, the Spectacular and the Buff Christmas crossover. I'm very much looking forward to it. We had a lot of fun. We actually, because my girlfriend and I were quarantining to go see my family for Thanksgiving, which never played out, we were going, we ended up recording that episode back on like the beginning of November, I think, like November 6th, which was a little weird to record a Christmas movie episode back on November 6th, but it was great to see those guys. Those guys are two of my dearest friends, and I hadn't seen them in, you know, 8 months. But they had been quarantining, we had been quarantining, so we felt safe, and we went there and recorded in person, and it was great. It was great to see them. And maybe, you know, we're talking here about quarantining and isolating and all these things. Maybe wherever you are, you don't have to do that. And if you don't have to do that, good for you. Like, I wish you all the best, and I'm happy that you don't have to do it. You know, it's really tough being in the city here where just there are so many people and just trying to be safe. I mean, I don't want to get COVID. I'm relatively healthy, so I'm not that worried about getting it. But nonetheless, you know, it's just hard to it's just a hard time, period, for everybody. So it's been a rough year. I really want to ramp up the holiday stuff this year and give you guys a bunch of episodes. So again, next week, the 10th, we're gonna do like some kind of holiday special or Christmas movie, something like that. And then from the 11th until the 18th, we will be doing the Goldbergs for Hanukkah. The next week we'll have Christmas Eve, is that Thursday. That's usually when we release. But we'll try to do like a holiday, you know, the Christmas crossover with Movies in the Buff. And then we'll try to do maybe one other one. And then New Year's Eve will be our last episode of the year. I don't know if you guys, any of you will hear it that day or listen to it that day. But we'll do something, and I, you know, I'm a little bummed, and I'm going to be honest with you guys. I told you guys last month for Super Nintendo month we were going to do Final Fantasy VI, which we still are, but we got a little delayed, and I thought we were going to have some bonus episodes for that, and we just didn't. So I'm hoping that this month I can throw you at least one bonus episode to make up for it, and I'm sorry that it got delayed, but, you know, the people that I have on my show are friends of mine, but they, you know, they have jobs, they have lives. It's hard for them to play through a 40-hour game because stuff happens, stuff comes up, and especially this year where things are so limited, people don't have the same amount of space and time. And I just appreciate your patience with that. And I hope you guys did enjoy what we did do for Super Nintendo Month. I had a lot of fun. It did almost kill me. I definitely should not do that again. I definitely should. If I'm gonna do that, I should, you know, prepare the episodes ahead of time before the month starts. That way I'm not marathoning through, you know, Final Fantasy VI. But that is still going to come out. Final Fantasy VI, that'll still come out. It's going to be at minimum a two-parter because my buddy Aaron, who is from the podcast Controller Freak, Aaron Madison, he is the guy that we're going to have as the guest, and he had never played it. So I'm really looking forward to discussing that with him. He was the, if you've listened to our recent episodes, he did Hyper Light Drifter with me, he did Chrono Trigger with me, and I'm really excited to talk to him about the game, because the half of it we've already talked about, the world of, I don't know what it is, the world of light, he was very into. And I'm sorry, you guys, I won't have time to edit this. I got to pause to take a sip right here. Excuse me. Seltzer. I don't know about you guys. I used to drink soda all the time. I didn't know you could abuse caffeine. Did you guys know that? Whoever's listening to this, did you know you could abuse caffeine? That it's not like a, it's not a thing you can just drink nonstop. I didn't know that. I'm 40 years old now, but when I was in my mid-20s, I would drink, this is not an exaggeration, a typical day for me at work. Now, this was just at work. This was not counting when I went home after work. But a typical day for me when I was in my mid-20s consisted of a minimum of 3 to 4 Diet Mountain Dews, 20 ounce. So that's anywhere from 60 to 80 ounces of Diet Mountain Dew between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. Then I would go home and just drink Diet Mountain Dews like all night. That is so much caffeine. I didn't know. Back, I was, you know, I'm not trying to say I'm smart now, but I'm an idiot, dude. I'm a fucking buffoon. I used to think, I would look at a diet soda on my desk and I would be like, oh, 0 calories, 0 sugar. This is effectively water, which it's not even close. It's way different than that. But I used to just think, nah, that's fine. It was so stupid. I still can't get over it. But anyway, I used to drink anywhere from 4, that's not an exaggeration. Some days it would be 6 to 8, 20 ounce Diet Mountain Dews at work. So right off the bat, I'm buying that in the cafeteria. That's like $20 worth of friggin' Mountain Dews. Anyway, I'm drinking a seltzer here. I'm drinking a Polar Blueberry Lemonade. I don't know if you guys are seltzer fans, but this stuff is choice. Anyway, it's holiday time. I'm hoping wherever you guys are, you had a great, if you're in the United States, you had a great Thanksgiving. If not, wherever you are, I hope you're doing great. Hope your families are healthy and happy. And I'm really sorry, you're probably going to hear a lot of noises, my mouth and me sniffing and all this stuff, but unfortunately this is going out raw and uncut, so there'll be no, I'm just going to splice the music at the front. Do you guys like the music, by the way? I really dig our music. I was very happy when my buddy Peter, PG Boo, that's the guy who made it, he made the music for us. I really dig it. Anyway, I realized, I was thinking about it with all the video games I played last month, I realized that there have been at least 4 Christmases in my life that were shaped by Super Mario. Because there was the first year I got Nintendo when I think I was in first grade, so I was 6. I got Super Mario Brothers in, I think it was 1986. And that was the greatest. You guys have to understand, when I was a kid, I had 3 older cousins that had Atari and ColecoVision. And we used to go over there and we'd play with them and, you know, play the games. And it was the best, right? We loved video games, me and my brother, and especially me. And we'd go over there, and for Christmas one year, they gave us their ColecoVision and Atari, which was, for us, was the greatest thing in the history of the universe, because now we could just go play video games whenever we wanted. But when we got ColecoVision for Christmas, it was because they got Nintendo for Christmas. So when we would go over there, now the ColecoVision / Atari mechanism that we had, I mean, it was still great. We still played the games, but it didn't compare. Nintendo was so much better. So that following year for Christmas, we got Nintendo, and that was like the greatest thing. Oh my God, man. Nintendo was awesome. And we got, if you are bored and you want to Google some old video game history, we got the Nintendo, I don't remember which version it was. It was like Nintendo with like the pot, like the, it came with Rob the Robot. And if you've never heard of this, seen this, it was crazy, man. Back when you could buy Nintendo a few different ways, a few different packages, right? But the one we got was like the Nintendo Entertainment System, which came with, was it Gyromite and Duck Hunt? It came with, I think, 2 games. I think it came with Nintendo, the Zapper gun, two controllers, Gyromite, which was an NES video game, the Zapper gun, and it came with Duck Hunt, so you could put Duck Hunt in and shoot the Zapper gun at the screen, which was amazing at the time that you had a flash laser zapper at home that worked. You would stand in front of the TV and pull the trigger and you could shoot the ducks out of the sky. It was amazing. And we also had, it came with this other thing, Rob the Robot. And Rob the Robot was this little, and he wasn't little. He was probably, I don't know, a foot tall, maybe, I'm guessing. I don't know, maybe a little more, foot and a half, 15, 16 inches tall. And he was like a plastic and metal robot who you could set him up. And he had these, like, I don't know how to explain what they were. He had this, like, base that had two arms on it or two legs on it, and each one of them had a button on the end of it, a blue button and a red button. And Rob would, I'm sorry, I got to keep moving away from the microphone to clear my throat. I'm really sorry. Rob would, like, if you were playing Gyromite was a game where you navigated this character through these screens, and there were red pillars and blue pillars, and you had to move between them to get away from enemies and clear the area and achieve your goals. And Rob would, like, move he had, like, this scope, like this spinning gyroscope top that he would pick up and move. And it would, he would quote-unquote play with you while you played Gyromite. But it was, he was just a robot, like on some, just YouTube it, you'll see. He was not very reliable. He was not a very good Gyromite partner. But yeah, that was like this year of pure joy because we got that. We got super. And again, I don't mean to be on here like talking about all the things I got in my life. I'm very aware of how lucky I was. I grew up with a nice family, so it was very lucky. I had a lot of nice holidays and birthdays and stuff. But then a few years later, they had Super Mario Bros. 2, which was on Nintendo. I don't know if you guys know this. In America, I don't know about Europe and Asia. Well, I know in Japan, at least. In Japan, Super Mario Bros. 2 was a Super Mario Bros. Game. And it was considered to be too similar and difficult to the original one, so they didn't release it in America. Instead, this is all real, you can look this up. They took a game whose name I think is Tokidoki Panic. They pulled all of the characters out of it, replaced the characters with Mario, Luigi, the Princess, and Toad, and that became Super Mario Bros. 2 in America. And when that game came out, there was a big shortage of, like, microchips or whatever the hell it was, so, like, I didn't think I was going to get it that year, but my great-aunt Jean was, you know, she's really my grandmother. She and my great-uncle John, they surprised us with it for Christmas Eve, and it was like, the grub I got, and I was obsessed about it, because I wanted to play a new Mario game, because you don't think about it. You're a little kid. You think, like, I have this game that I love, Super Mario Brothers. It doesn't occur to you that there can be another one. So you find out, like, what? There's more? There's another whole game? It's like this giant, exciting thing. So Super Mario Bros. 2 is another one that I just, a lot of people hate it and give it shit to this day, but I thought that one was awesome. And the other thing is, I said there was no Super Mario Bros. 2 from Japan released in America. There was. Eventually it was released. It's been released a few times now, but they did release it on Super Nintendo on a game called Super Mario All-Stars, which had a collection of Mario games on it, and it was in there as The Lost Levels. That's really not The Lost Levels, that's the real Super Mario 2. But anyway, it's kind of funny to think that, like, this very important part of your childhood was a complete lie. It was just this, like, marketing mechanism. It's like, nah, this game's too fucking hard. Give him something cheesier. But whatever, man. I don't care. I still love it. Ba-bomb. Famous Super Mario character, Ba-bomb, he came from Super Mario 2, as did Shy Guys. People don't think about that, but Shy Guys came from Super Mario 2. So, anyway, another one I used to really love was Super Mario World. We did not have cable growing up. We did not have cable television. We just had, like, the antenna, the TV antenna. But we had, for about 8 or 9 months when I was a kid, we had cable TV. And they did a contest on, Disney Channel now or ABC Family or something, but when I was a kid there was a channel called the Family Channel, and every day after school they ran like a block of cartoons for whatever it was, 3 hours or something, 3 to 6 maybe, 2:30 to 5, I don't know, but they ran this block of cartoons and they did a contest every day from like November 1st until Christmas Eve where you had to like sit in front of the TV for this entire block of cartoons, and then they'd flash this little thing on the screen in the bottom corner, like, call now. And so you'd have to call the family channel and try to get through to win a Super Nintendo. And we did not, my brother and I, it was always busy. We were calling from like the house phone where it was rotary. You had to dial it. You couldn't just hit redial even. You had to like, if you've never seen a rotary phone, just YouTube it. It took forever because you'd have to, if you had to press the zero, it was all the way at the end. Then you had to, if it was a one, it was quick. But the zeros and the, if they were high numbers, man, that was, took a while. It added time to the call. So luckily people had press button phones at the time too, but we did not. We still had an old rotary phone. But anyway, we didn't get Super Mario World from Family Channel. We got through a couple of times just to tell, be told we were not the right caller, but we did. We got it for Christmas. And I remember like freaking out. I remember laying in bed. I was in sixth grade and laying in bed on Christmas Eve and just like stressing like we weren't going to get this game. And I was really obsessed with it. I knew the commercial down to like the last word and sound. And I was just, I couldn't wait. I was like, it was the only thing I cared about at the time. And it was Christmas Eve. And it was probably, now it was probably Christmas morning. It was probably like 12:30 in the morning. And my brother and I were still wide awake in bed. And our parents actually came in and they said, Do you guys want to come out and have Christmas now? And I was like, yeah. We dashed out there and we were very excited. We got Super Nintendo. We got, you know, it came with Mario World. I think we also got F-Zero, which was a very cool racing game, which I still don't know why Nintendo didn't make more of them, but F-Zero was awesome. I think we might have got another game too, but I remember for sure those two. Mario World came with it and we got F-Zero, which was an awesome racing game. It was like hovercraft racing in like futuristic cities. It was cool. And then, that was sixth grade. I'm sorry, guys. I got to move away from the mic again for one sec. More of that polar seltzer. And, yeah, Super Mario 64, which was on the Nintendo 64. And I started working at KB Toys that year, which is now a defunct toy company. But I started working at KB Toys that year because I wanted a Super Nintendo, and they always were, like, instantly gone, and, like, we couldn't necessarily buy them, and I just was hoping, I'm like, oh, God, I'm never going to be able to afford this thing, I just, hopefully I'll get one for Christmas, I don't know, but it was Christmas Eve, and it was funny, because one of my closest friends, Jeff, he grew up, like, two doors down from me, he's my oldest friend, literally, in the world, my buddy Jeff, and, he grew up two doors down from my brother and I. I told his mom, because I worked at the toy store, if Jeff wants a Nintendo 64, we're supposed to be getting a shipment of them on Christmas Eve. And we were. We were supposed to be getting Nintendo 64 in stock that day. And the whole day came and went, and the shipment did not show up. And I had told Jeff's mom he was getting this system. And at like, you know, we were closing early that day at like 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or whatever it was. We were closing early on Christmas Eve. And at like 4:30 in the afternoon, someone returned one. Someone brought one back to the store and was like, we got two. We'd like to return this. So my boss had it in the back room and I had explained to her what was going on. And she actually said to me, she was the assistant manager at the time, my boss, Deb. She was like, hey, Johnny, you want the 64? I was like, fuck, yes, please. So I bought the 64 and, you know, my dad picked me up from work and we drove home. And on the way home, I ran up to Jeff's house and like, you know, knocked and his dad came to the door and I just handed him this big bag. And Jeff woke up on Christmas morning. He had a Nintendo 64 and he didn't realize that he had just gotten it like, you know, not even 12 hours earlier or something, you know. But when we got home, my Aunt Jean and my Uncle John were there. You know, I call them my aunt and my uncle, which they were technically, but really they were my grandparents. You know, my mom's grandparents died. My mom's parents died when I was very young, and they were on my mom's side, and they basically were those people for me. And they were always, you know, they kind of always bought us our big gift, our big thing. And, you know, I got home from work, and I changed, and then we had our little Christmas Eve family thing, and sure enough, Nintendo 64. We had Super Mario 64, and it was just very cool, man. I was very happy. But that's four Christmases in a row. Super Mario Brothers, Mario 2, and Mario 64. And I left out Mario World. Mario World came from, quote-unquote, Santa, but Mario Brothers and Mario Brothers 2 and Mario 64 all came from my aunt and uncle. And it's very sad. My uncle passed away a few years ago, but I'm going to see my Aunt Jean today, so I'm very happy about that. And, you know, who knows, maybe, you know, I told you guys a little bit about the toy store. I had some great times working at that toy store. If you were a geek in the mid to late 90s, KB Toys was a very fun place to work. Because, one, it put you around all sorts of stuff that you liked, including video games and toys and whatever else. Two, you were getting paid for it. Three, you had early access to the toys, even though you weren't supposed to. We'd put some of them out, but if a new Darth Maul figure came out, you better believe I was taking one of those home. And then, also, the other thing that was cool about it, as an ultra-shy, geeky teenager, awkward, who had no idea that, one, any woman was ever interested in him at all, it also put me in a place where I could talk to girls, because there were girls there that I worked with, which was nice. And some of them were really nice, and some of them were really cute, and it was good. It didn't matter. I was still a schmuck, but it was nice to be in an environment where you didn't have to feel weird talking to a girl, because it's like, well, I'm not hitting on her. I work with her. But I have a lot of fun memories of working there. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the movie 40-Year-Old Virgin, but there's a scene where, like, they're all out on the loading dock, and they're just smashing these big, like, fluorescent light tubes. We broke a few light tubes in the day, but, like, never on purpose, because he had to clean them up, and they were dangerous. You could get hurt and stuff, but we did smash a lot of shit. We used to go out on the back deck and play battery baseball, which was so stupid, but we'd be, like, tossing batteries up in the air and hitting them with a broomstick, and because they would send you like 1,000 batteries, and we didn't know any better. We were totally destroying the environment near there, but we didn't know. Battery baseball, and we had a huge stock room, so there'd be days we'd just play wiffle ball or soccer back there or whatever. It was fun, man. They were really good, really good times. And Christmas time, you know, the holidays, Black Friday. It's funny, and we just had Thanksgiving last week here in the States, but the day after. It's a little weird. I think it's going to eventually change and kind of be gone, but for years, the day after Thanksgiving was Black Friday. It was the official start of the Christmas shopping season, holiday shopping season, and people would go and wait in these long, insane lines and then trample each other, literally kill each other, to get a fucking Cabbage Patch doll or a Furby or whatever the fuck it was. So we always called it, it's so funny because it's called Black Friday. I always thought it was Black Friday because it was this dark day, but it's Black Friday because you're in the black. In the black means you made a profit. Your numbers, your handwritten numbers, your black ink means you made money. At the toy store, we always called it Green Friday because that's what they always fucking called it, Green Friday, because we were going to make a lot of money. So one, they dumbed it down completely and they took something that meant making a lot of money and changed it, which was so, but anyway, we had a lot of fun times there. Those you know, days we'd get there at 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. There'd be people waiting outside already, which seemed insane. Now people go out and camp and they make a whole thing out of it. But back then, the earliest a person ever got there was the year Xbox came out. The year that the first Xbox came out, this lady, we showed up to work and we opened at 5 that year. It was the earliest we had ever opened. We opened up at 5 o'clock. There was like 8-10 people there. And we're like, wow, you guys are so early. People are never here this early. Because we had to get there at like 4 to open up for 5. And the people in line were like, this lady's been here since 2 o'clock. The first lady at the front of the line. And we were like, oh my gosh, you're the earliest ever. You're the earliest person that's ever been here. So she said, well, my son is a great kid. He's been a straight A student all year. He wants an Xbox. I just want to make sure I get him an Xbox. I'm like, well, you're number one. I'm working the video counter. I'll take care of you. You're definitely getting an Xbox. And then we went inside. By the time the store opens, the line is like hundreds of people long. 200 people, I don't know, 250 people, 300 people. We open the door. Everybody pours in. The store is full. It goes from empty to full in like 2 minutes. And it wasn't a traditional KB Toys in the mall. It was a KB Toy Works, which was in this big plaza in Franklin, Massachusetts. So you had like 12 aisles of people packed, just packed. Six registers, two at the video counter. I'm on video. The lady comes in. She's holding number one. I give her the Xbox. I get all the stuff bagged up. Take like 5 minutes with her. Get her a couple games he wants. Do you need this adapter? Do you need this controller? Whatever. I get her everything. Bag it all up, ring it all in. She writes me a check. I put it through the machine. The check machine used to be this thing where it would like zip. You'd put the piece of paper check in it and it would go zoo, zoo. It'd be like back and forth. Nothing. Zoo, zoo. And then it's like, call this number. I'm like, ah, damn it. So I call the number. And I'm like, I'm sorry. They're making me authorize this check. I call the number. I'm on hold. I'm on hold. I'm on hold. And all these people are waiting. So I'm just, everybody's waiting for me and I'm waiting for this fucking phone company to pick up and be like, all right, the check's good, whatever. So I'm where I was standing, I look at the other end of the register, at the other end of the video counter. The other guy's on a call because somebody's paying with a check. This is whatever year it was, 2001 maybe. They're paying with a check. I'm like, they're on the phone. I'm on the phone. I lean around the video counter and I look to the other four registers, all four people on the phone. It turned out that year that all the KB stores opened at 5 to get a jump on the competition. But nobody at the company had the wherewithal to check with the check vendor or the check machine company to make sure they would be online. Nope, they weren't online until 6 a.m. So then we had to tell everybody that was there they couldn't buy anything with a check for the first hour that we... People were actually really good about it because we bagged everything up and stapled it and put their name on it and we let them come back and buy it. But what a fucking bonehead move. Thank you for getting here 9 hours ago, but we can't sell you anything because our fucking company's dumb. Anyway, luckily it all worked out. People were a little mad for about a minute, but once they realized they weren't going to, like, quote unquote, lose their place or lose what they were here to get, people were fine with it. Because what's another, you know... What's another 40 minutes? You go get a coffee, you come back, and it's time to buy your stuff. So it all worked out. And the holiday time was always a good time there. But had a lot of good memories there. A lot of good memories there. And hopefully we'll have some more good memories this year and next year. Because it's been a tough year. And I'm looking forward to sharing some fun holiday stuff with you guys here in December. So... Until next time, I love you. I miss you. I really want to kiss you. I'll see you next time. Bye, 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 bye.